turn to Luke chapter 2. And we are going to be starting in chapter 25 today. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. No, I think once I start talking, we'll start doing better. Let's listen to God's word. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." And then in Luke 2:25, we read, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather, that we can gather as people of faith. We thank you for the privilege we've had already this morning, lifting our needs before you, needs for healing. Father, we thank you that you promise that you are here with us and that you are attentive to our prayers. Father, as we dwell in your word today and as we look at the glorious truth that we live now as a ransomed people, we live now as a redeemed people, that you would glorify yourself in our midst, that we would understand this new identity that you have given us, and that we would walk in it in a way that glorifies you. Father, we're dependent upon your Spirit today to accomplish your perfect purposes. So I pray that the words that come out of this scratchy throat would be honoring to you. And I pray that the word revealed in the Bible that you've given us and in the Lord, in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would accomplish the perfect purposes you have today. Father, we ask this with confidence because we ask it in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're in this little series we're doing where we're continually asking the question, why did Jesus come to earth? And we've looked at a couple of various reasons, and now we get to this reason that's expressed back in Mark 10. It was actually the passage that convinced me that this would be a good Christmas series. When he was instructing his disciples on true greatness, as he was explaining to them his purposes, as he was rebuking them for their ambition, he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, if you ever decide to try to study biblical Greek, you will have endeavored to do a wonderful thing, and you definitely have my respect, because it's a tough thing to do. And Brian Hayes is walking through that right now, and I haven't talked to Brian, but I'm counting on the study of Greek remaining the same. I'm going to ask him a question that puts him and me on the spot, because if I'm wrong, My illustration is just all broken, so this is really risky. What was the first verb that you learned to conjugate when you were studying Greek? Luo, yes. Luo. Luo means to loose. I used to know, I'd have that roll off of my tongue with all of its endings and all of the figures of speech that works. But today we are focusing on that word, that luo, which means to loose. Because it's going to show up in nearly every passage we look at today. Maybe not every single one, but in nearly every passage we look at today. And that is the root of the word that gets translated redemption, redeemed, ransom. Because you see, in all of those things, something is being set free. A price is being paid that looses. Give me a little extra help today. All right. Thank you. So that's what we're looking at today. It's the purpose he came was to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. The first reason he does this is because ransom destroys the power of death. Ransom destroys the power of death. Even this morning, you know, as we've come in, I got the text from Ryan last night. Way reported a death of a close friend. I'm 2 years out from the death of my dad on December 7th. Death is a horrible thing. Death is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So this ransom is huge. This ransom could not be more important, because we live in a world where death touches us. Where death touches us. And God's word declares that the ransom that was Jesus' purpose, the ransom that begins at Christmas time with his arrival, destroys the power of death. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. Could you catch that? The ransom destroys the devil's power, the power of death. So you heard me in my prayer talk about the new status we have as we are gathered as the redeemed, as we are gathered as the ransom. It means we live here with a brand new orientation toward the devil's power and death. And that is, it has been destroyed. It has been destroyed. The writer of Hebrews goes on to explain that because that power has been destroyed, that we are delivered from fear. We're delivered from fear. See, friends, you've been ransomed. The price has been paid. We no longer need to be afraid of death. And the writer goes on to explain the reason we no longer have fear, the reason we no longer need fear, is because we are free from slavery. That's why we had to be ransomed. Sin and the resulting death had us in slavery to sin. But the good news is in Christ, in the work that he's done, in the ransom that has been paid, we are free from slavery. We are free from fear, and we are free from the power of death. So this ransom is paid through Jesus' death and resurrection. If we go back into Mark 10, where he explained his purpose to give his life as a ransom for many, if we back up just a little bit to verse 33, Jesus declares, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles." "And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." The ransom is paid through his death and resurrection. You might be asking, okay, so sin, death, how does this work? What is it that we are ransomed from? What is it that this price has been paid for? If we have been redeemed, what have we been redeemed from? In John 8, verse 34, we read, Jesus answered them saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." Sin has us in slavery. A dear brother of mine, sitting in this room, has encouraged my heart recently with the words, "You can't really understand the good news until you really understand the bad news." And I think he's right. And that bad news is that before before this redemption, before this ransom is applied to us. We are in slavery to sin. And that is bad news. That is the stuff of fear. That is the power of death. That is eternity apart from God. We are ransomed because we were a slave to sin. But the promise is new life in the ransom. So if we understand the bad news, we can receive, we can hear, we can understand the good news of the ransom. John Piper asks the question, how do you know you are in the many? The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus answers that for us in John chapter 15. Jesus explains what it's like to live as the ransomed one, to live as one of the many who Jesus has redeemed. Now, I want you to catch as we read this, as we hear this, Jesus isn't going to be talking about a cause. He's not going to be talking about what causes us to be ransomed. He's going to be talking about the evidence that we have been ransomed, okay? We're going to talk about the ransom itself. The ransom is in the cross. The ransom is in the work he did in his birth, his death, his resurrection to pay the price for sin. That is the ransom. It is what he does for us. So what we're about to look at isn't the cause. Rather, it's the evidence. It's the result. It's what life looks like for the ransomed one. It's what life looks like if we're of the many for whom he came to give his life as a ransom. This is what he says in John 15, verse 12. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my master, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Did you catch that? That's what it looks like to be ransomed, to love one another, to lay down our lives in the way that Jesus laid down his life. Greater love, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did in the pain of the ransom. He redeemed us that we could bear fruit. He redeemed us that we could be people of love. He redeemed us for this new identity. So we are a people in desperate need of a ransom. And the ransom has been paid. John tells us on the lips of Jesus that we receive the ransom by believing, by trusting him, by trusting what he's done for us in the pain of that ransom. And then Jesus explains that because we are a new person in a new relationship with God, we walk according to a new commandment. That as we walk with him, he builds the fruit of love. That you love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. These things I command you that you will love one another. So how is this connected to Christmas? How is this connected to Christmas? If we go back into our passage of Luke 2, we have the report of Jesus being presented in the temple. And God allowed his servant Simeon to say some amazing, amazing things. Let's listen again. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Okay? So he's doing his work, functioning at the temple, and somehow God, through his Holy Spirit, has communicated to him, Mr. Simeon, you get to see the Messiah. And this is a special promise I'm making to you. I don't know how it happened. I know that John told us it happened. You can know that you will not die until you have seen the Messiah. And so this man is doing his duties, serving God in the temple, and this baby is brought to him, and he realizes that at this moment, God is keeping his promise. So we read that Simeon took Jesus in his arms, and he praised God. Now, when we listen to what he says, he's going to talk about the promise of blessing. He's going to talk about the promise of glory. He's also going to talk about the promise of pain. I mean, it's all here as he gives this foreshadowing of what the Messiah is going to do as he's holding this little baby, as he's holding this Christmas time infant. He's declaring from the very beginning the bigger pictures, the things that God is going to do as God is keeping his promise. He gets to see the Messiah. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, so now dismiss your servant in peace. He says, I can go home. God has kept his promise. I have seen the Messiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Wow. This little baby is preparing to pay the ransom. And the ransom is for the Gentiles. And the ransom is for the people of Israel. And Simeon is saying, Father God, thank you so much that you've kept your promise, that I get to see this. And then we read the child's father and mother, so that's Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to call the falling and rising of many in Israel. He's going to turn things upside down. And to be a sign, that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. See, in doing this ransoming, in doing this teaching, hearts will be revealed. And then Simeon continues on to say, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So speaking to Mary, he's saying, this is a great day. I get to go home. God has kept his promise to me. Somehow this little baby's going to turn the world upside down and reveal the hearts of people. And Mary, it's going to be as though a sword has pierced your soul too. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. So you see, we see glory and we see blessing and we see a promise of pain. Because the ransom is not going to be cheap. The ransom is going to take the cross. God's word tells us that Mary observed her son, the Messiah, paying the ransom on the cross. And then in 36, we have, there was also on the same day in the temple, there was also another precious saint. We find out that this lady was very old. She'd been married for 7 years, and then after she became a widow, she had been in the temple worshiping day and night, fasting and praying until she was 84 years old. Then we pick up the story in verse 38. Coming up to them at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And there's that word again, redemption. She is declaring, this child will be the redemption, the ransom, the payment. I've been encouraging you over the last several weeks to use your eyes to see things and notice, to respond to lights in a different way, to respond to bells in a little bit different way. At Christmas, we have the time to behold. Behold. When you're driving around your neighborhood and you see a beautiful display of lights, behold it. When you see a Christmas tree, behold. Now, what's behold mean? It means stop and look and notice and pay attention. When I was a little boy, there was this crazy moose on TV. His name was Bullwinkle. I don't know. Most of you have no idea who Bullwinkle is. I never thought I would outlive Bullwinkle, but I seem to have. So every week, right before they went to commercial break, Bullwinkle would do a magic trick. And he would say, "Behold, as I pull a rabbit from my hat." So not bad with a scratchy voice, was it? Okay. So he says, "Top hat." And he says, "Behold, as I pull a rabbit from the hat." And you would think that trick would get old week after week, commercial break after commercial break, but didn't get old because he'd reach into the hat and he'd pull it out, and it was never a rabbit. It was the mystery thing of the day. But what he said, what? He said, what? What did he say? Behold. Can we say that? Can we say that word? Behold. Right. Just like Bullwinkle talking to the little kids through the TV. He wanted to say, hey, here it is. This is where it's happening. Now is the moment. Use your eyes and pay attention. Behold. Okay. So in the very first chapter of the book of John, John moves quickly. He moves quickly from the Word becoming flesh, which is the Christmas story, to teaching in the wilderness. But we read in the very first chapter of John in verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold.'" Now in the translation I'm reading from right here, it says, "Look." But there's a good chance your Bible says, "Behold." I mean, they mean exactly the same thing. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, he doesn't just say there is a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Christmas is the time to behold. I want you to make sure that you do not forget to behold. So this week when you see a Christmas tree, behold and remember. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come. And you have been invited to behold him. When you hear a Christmas song on the radio, stop and listen, be attentive, and behold, remember that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come. You see, he's come to pay a ransom. That's how he takes away the sin of the world. He comes for you. Later on, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." How can that be? Because the ransom has been paid. Because the Lamb has come. Friends, the question I want to leave you with is, are you the many? See, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. If you're part of the many, walk in him. Behold what he's done for you. If you're here today and you're not the many, he's calling you. He's inviting you. believe. Believe. The Lamb of God has come, who takes away the sin of the world. The ransom has been paid. If we will trust him, we will know that we have been redeemed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that everything has changed in the universe because of the ransom. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to be a redeemed people. That you have called us to live out our redemption in your power. That we would live a life displaying your love to those around you, to those around us, to the watching world, that we would bear fruit. Father, I ask that anyone who does not yet have that believing trust that we call faith, that you would build it, that you would call. We thank you that you have invited. And we thank you for this very good news that we can understand only when we know the very bad news. But this gospel that you have called us to. And we lift up these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.